Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the 5th of Tammuz. Today we're going to discuss Rav Moshe Feinstein's view of the obligation on all of us, on all Jews, men, as an obligation, but the obligation to study all of Torah. That it's not an obligation to study Torah, but an obligation to study all of Torah. Now, before I go on with that, let me just comment that we saw a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein's yesterday, and Rav Moshe certainly is going to be a prominent figure in this series. I do strive for variety, and I'm always looking for other tshuvot. But when I'm choosing tshuvot that I can present in about a half an hour in a way that seems to me meaningful and interesting. It seems to me to take on the scope of halakha. Rav Moshe, I think, was more consistent about dating his tshuvot than many other people, because on almost all the days that I come across, there's at least one or two tshuvot by Rav Moshe on that day. He also has a great volume of tshuvot, although so does the Tzitz Eliezer and others. So I think we're going to end up finding a lot of Rav Moshe. I strive to have others, and I strive for variety, but that's what happens. And even if we end up with a lot of Rav Moshe Feinstein, there are many worse ways we can spend our time in getting to know a little bit better Rav Moshe Feinstein, that great posuk, the great halachic decisor of the last of the English centuries, span two Jewish centuries, but of the 20th century. In any case, think about Moshe. Yoredeya, the second part of Yoredeya, Simon Kuf Yud, response in 110. He writes about the obligation to study all of the Torah. This is from the 5th of Tammuz of Tav Shin Chof Aleph of 1961. He's writing this because he was invited to a siyum of a Daf Yomi Shir. It's not clear if it's a Masechet. I think it's of a Masechet. Actually, sorry, it seems to be that it was clearly a siyum, because I now remember to look up online. The 5th Siyum HaShas of the Worldwide Learning of Daf Yomi took place on the 13th of Elul of 5720, which was 1960. And this is being written on the 5th of Tammuz, so it's several months later. Now, it could be that he's only now getting around to apologizing for not having joined this group in their Siyum HaShas, but it doesn't seem like that. It seems like it was a Siyum of a Masechet, which would suggest it was either Shabbos or Eruvin, right, or something like that. In any case, he admits the Siyum because he says he was involved. He wanted to come. He wanted to join. He thinks it's a very important endeavor to join in the Simcha Mitzvah of people who are finishing a Siyum. He points out that that Simcha, that joy of the finishing of a Masechta, is not only for those who actually finish, but for all those who care about the study of Torah, for all those who learn Torah. And he gives an example from Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Chet 118. Abaye says, I deserve reward because every time I saw a Torah scholar, some student of Torah, finishing a Masechet, I made a party. Meaning today, the people who make the Siyum, when they finish a Masechet, is the person who finishes the Masechet makes a Siyum. But Abaye was saying he was making Siyumim, he was making the party, he was making the celebration for other people who made the Siyum. So that shows, Rav Moshe says, that we all have a stake in others' completions of Torah. It's a celebration for all of us, not just for the people finishing it. Then he points out Rashi there. Says that Abaye would do it because he was a Rosh Yeshiva, that he would do it for his students who finished Masechta. And then it sounds like that it's only the teacher, the Rebbe of the person finishing, who has this stake in it, and that would be presumably because the Rebbe is now seeing fruits from his educating of this student, because the student is building up his Torah knowledge, and that's why it would be a simcha, it would be a joy to the Rebbe. Meaning, if Abaye has a yeshiva and students in the yeshiva are studying well and completing Masechtot, that's good for them, but it also shows that Abaye is being successful, and that would be a joy to him that he was succeeding, and that would explain why he would be the one to make the party. That's what it sounds like. But Rav Moshe thinks that nonetheless, that would show that everybody has some stake in their Torah study, because if it doesn't matter to anybody else, then it shouldn't matter. Meaning, if it's completely a personal joy, then it shouldn't matter to the Rebbe either that he should have to make a holiday, make a party, make a celebration for them. That's what Rav Moshe says. So in other words, Rav Moshe is saying, from the fact that the Rebbe has a stake in this person's learning, such a significant enough stake that it's worth making a Yom Tov, making a celebration, making a party for it, that implies that all Torah scholars, all who care about Torah, have a stake in the Torah learning, not just of their own or of others. And all of that is by way of Rav Moshe trying to say that, of course, I would have come if I had the opportunity to come, because it's not just your simcha, it would be my simcha as well, it would be my joy as well that you were finishing this masechet. But he says, "Hayiti tarud b'mitzvah acharet," I was involved in a different mitzvah, and therefore I couldn't make it. sort of in honor of this, because he didn't get a chance to be there, he writes that the whole idea of Daf Yomi, he thinks, he says, is a very important idea. Now, the reasons he says it's an important idea are going to be relevant to all of us, whether or not we choose to learn Daf Yomi, whether or not that's the way we expect it. He'll give a plug at the very end for why Daf Yomi is particularly a good way to do it, and we'll have a minute to talk about that at the end. But on the way there, he's going to say that it's part of fulfilling the obligation in Torah study is that the person should learn all of Torah. There's a mitzvah to study Torah, right? But the mitzvah to study Torah, he says, one could fulfill if they learn one masechet, if they learn one part of Torah all of their lives. Meaning, let's suppose somebody finds, and there are people like this, somebody finds Bava Batra endlessly fascinating, right? The questions of how neighbors get along, who has the rights to which, who has which rights when people are living in close proximity, how we decide what rights to assign to whom, all of those issues just stimulate this person. After all, Bava Batra is a long masakh, right? And so the person just goes through it again and again and again and becomes a complete expert in Bava Batra, and that's what they learn their whole lives. So that person has learned Torah and has spent much time learning Torah. Rav Moshe says, yes, that person would have that mitzvah. But he says, in addition to that, Hare yesh mitzvah shel yomod kol ha-Torah shebichtav v'shebe'al peh. He believes that it's an obligation, and he says it's not just for Gedolim, for great Torah scholars. This is an obligation on all, and again, the strict mitzvah Talmud Torah applies to men, so on all men, to learn all of Torah, written and oral. Now, we'll have to think for a couple of minutes, maybe at the end, about what he means by all Torah, because after all, you can learn forever and not learn all of Torah. So he clearly doesn't mean that one has to get to everything, because there is no way to get to everything. But we'll see. I think he means, at the very least, one has to have a good knowledge of Torah Shebichtav, which could either mean for him Chumash or all of Tanakh, and then of the oral law that sort of was sealed at the end of the Talmuds, I think is what he means. But he's not clear about that. But the sense of that we have a requirement to have some knowledge of all of it, he thinks that's also part of the mitzvah itself. And why does he think that? First of all, he thinks the psukim sound like that. But also there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, a very interesting Gemara worth picking up and going through if one can, where the Gemara talks about the obligation on a father to teach his son Torah and wants to know if it applies to grandfathers as well, and it proves it from a story of a fellow named Zvulun Ben Dan. And the Gemara there says that Zvulun Ben Dan's grandfather taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachot, V'Agadot. He taught him the written Torah, he taught him the oral law, he taught him ways to think about that oral law, he taught him the practical applications of it, and he taught him Agadot, he taught him the more story-like or moral seeking parts of Torah. So that sounds like you're obligated to know everything if you can. Then he says, and he knows the Gemara as well as any of us do, and he points out the Gemara, he does point out the Gemara there, says, but that a part of what Zvulun ben Dan's grandfather did to him wasn't an obligation. So he says, yeah, it wasn't an obligation on the grandfather to teach his son that much, grandson that much, or the father to teach his son that much, that on a grandfather and a grandson to a grandson or a father to a son, they only have to teach Mikra. They only have to teach the written Torah, the written law. As Rashi there says, Rav Moshe points out, who wrote, Mikan va'ilach yilmod hu le'atzmo. Now, I might have read that Rashi as meaning, and beyond that, it's whatever that person happens to get around to. Right, but Rav Moshe reads it, and clearly between the two of us, Rav Moshe is the more capable reader of text than I am. Rav Moshe says that when Rashi says that he has to, that Rashi says he has to learn on his own, it means he has to learn on his own. It's not, oh, if he wants to, he can. It's what the Gemara is trying to establish, and we're just going to talk about for what purpose is establishing that. The Gemara is trying to establish what the father and the grandfather's obligation is, and then beyond that, when it says he has to do the rest, Rashi says it means he has to do the rest. And then Rosh adds that when Rashi says he has to do the rest, it's clearly al yidei rav umore. It's by some teacher, by some Torah teacher. This is a point, I think, that aside from the direct topic of how much Torah we have to learn, Rav Moshe is adding another point that we don't always recognize and realize, is that we need teachers in Torah. Delo efshar lilmod be'atzmo belo limud me'rav u'mure, because it's not possible to learn on your own without learning it from a Rebbe and a teacher. And that's certainly true, he says, before the Gemara was written, because then you needed an oral tradition, person to person. But He thinks it's true. He says the whole point of the Gemara is that the father's no more necessary teacher for those other things than for those other areas of Torah than anybody else. And all of those people, we're going to get into the question of money in a second, that all those people have to teach that all those other pieces of Torah bechinam for free. So we'll come back to that second, but just let's not skip over what Moshe said about the obligation, the need to learn from a teacher, because that's something that one can also lose sight of today. We today have, you know, printed Gemaras and printed this and printed that, and everything's out there. And one might think that one can just read on one's own and get to know things. Rav Moshe is saying that's clearly untrue. He probably means at the early stages of education, there comes a point at which one is qualified enough to consult Sfarim on one's own, consult books on one's own, learn on one's own, and one no longer needs a Rebbe. But that's at a later stage. For many of us, we may never get to that stage. We may always be learning from teachers and need to learn from teachers. So when it comes to Rashi saying that this person needs to learn on his own, Rav Moshe saying that's not without a teacher, it means on its own, that the father is not required to do it. The second point Rav Moshe has made, which is going to be explained this Gemara for him as well, is that there are parts of Torah that one has to pay in order to make sure one can learn, and there are parts of Torah that one has the right to expect to be taught for free. So when it comes to the written Torah, he's going to say that that's where the father has to make sure that the son gets taught the written Torah, and there he's allowed to pay for it. Not only allowed to, he's required to pay for it. That's what it takes to find a teacher. But when it comes to the oral law, when it comes to everything beyond the written Torah, there, everybody has the obligation to teach it for free, and we'll see why in a second. And in those areas of Torah, the father or grandfather are no different than any other teachers you might find. They can do it, and they should do it, but it's really on the person to find the teachers to learn from. The reason Rav Moshe comes to this conclusion is that there's a lecha mishnah on the Rambam. The Rambam had said that only the father has to pay for the child to learn Torah, to learn the written Torah, and nobody else does. So if there's no father around, there's not an obligation on others to pay for that person to learn Torah, to hire a teacher, although the Rambam also thinks that cities are supposed to, among themselves, hire teachers for the kids to make sure they all learn Torah, but that it's really an obligation of the father. And the Lecha Mishnah suggests that the reason the Rambam gets that is because the Gemara in Kiddushin, in that same page as before, says how far does the father's obligation go in terms of teaching his son Torah. That's where the Zvulun Ben Dan story came up, because it seemed like Zvulun Ben Dan's standard would be that we all have to teach or make sure that our children learn all of Torah, everything there is out there to learn. And the Gemara rejects that in terms of the straight obligation. But before we get there, the question is, in terms of what is this question? So I might have thought it's in terms of what the father has to teach the son, because the father has a special obligation to teach the son Torah. Problem is that in the Sifrei, when it gets to the pasuk of Vishinantam Levanecha, that you should teach it to your children, which I would have thought sounds like it means that the father has a special obligation, the Sifrei says that it also applies to others, not to only to one's children, because the Sifrei says Shetalmidim Kruyin Banim, that students are also called sons, and therefore Rav Moshe is saying it can't be that the Gemara means that what's the father's obligation towards the son as opposed to towards everybody else? Because the truth is, everybody has an obligation to all students. So it must be, he says, that Gemara is asking, what is the father's obligation to teach the son even by paying money for it? And regarding anything that's not the father's obligation, then this son will be just like everybody else, and the father can teach, or others can teach, whoever it is, but that's already on a different plane, and that's for free. That's where Rav Moshe is going to read it. We're going to come to this in a second. If I were sitting before Rav Moshe and I had the opportunity, was open to questioning, I might have wondered whether the Sifrei doesn't mean that students are also like sons in a more homiletical sense, in the sense that if somebody has the time and there are students out there, one should make sure to teach them like one would teach one son, but that regarding the actual son, there's a more formal obligation. That would mean then that the whole monetary question is ancillary to this, is a whole different question, but that's not everybody's going to read it, and that therefore is going to be part of his understanding and coming to understand that while there's a paid amount, a section of Torah study, and we'll get to why in a minute, but there's a paid section, that would be Torah Shebichtav, that would be the written Torah, and then there's the free, and in the free, it sounds like Rav Moshe thinks that yes, the father can teach, but so can other people, and it's all part of this other broader obligation to make sure that we all know all of Torah to some extent. part of what convinces Rav Moshe of that idea that is that what does it mean for the Gemara to say how far does the father have to go in teaching the son Torah? He says it can't really mean just Mikra, because since he's got this certainty that we have to know all of Torah, then and he also has the certainty. Now, that certainty that we have to know all of Torah is going to come up later in the tshuva. He's going to finally show where it's come from. Coming attraction, I'll tell you that he's going to say that it comes from the fact that the Gemara also learns from the words Vishinatu Levanecha, Sheyuch Mechudadim Beficha, that they should be sharp in our mouths, that we should know Torah well, such that if people ask us a question, we know the answer. That's not a directive in the Gemara just to Gedolei Torah, just to great Torah scholars. It's directed to all of us, and that will teach Rav Moshe that the Gemara assumed that we really required as much as we could to know everything there was in Torah. He'll have other proofs as well. That being said, once I know that really this son, this child, will need to know all of Torah, including Torah Shebaal Peh, including the oral law, and once we know that the oral law can only be taught by a teacher, as Rav Moshe has already said, and as he repeats here, so that's a clear idea to him, that even after the printing of these Sfarim, it's not true that one can learn on one's own. One needs a teacher, a Rebbe, to set one on the proper path of learning. If that's true, then in what sense is it true that the father has to teach the son Mikra? He also has to teach the son all the rest of Torah. So he says it must be in terms of paying for a melamed, paying for a teacher, that when it comes to Torah Shebichtav, one is A, allowed to pay for a teacher, and B, the father would be required to pay for the teacher. And part of the way he knows that must be true is that if other people had the obligation to teach this kid Torah, right? He's saying it's only, when it comes to Mikra, it's only the father has the obligation. And once it's only the father's obligation, that's why he can pay for it. Because if it was a mitzvah on everybody else to teach this person Mikra, to teach this kid the written Torah, then there would be no right to take money for it. So why would there be no right to take money for? Because Rav Moshe is saying that when it comes to any mitzvah, we're not allowed to take Torah. We're not allowed to take money, because the Gemara derives it from Hashem saying, there's a pasuk that talks about being like me, being like Hashem, and with Hashem it's ma'ani b'chinam afatem chinam. Just like I do it for free, meaning Hashem doesn't get paid for having given us Torah and mitzvahs and taught us things and doing things for us, so too we have to do it as well. And Rav Moshe includes, by the way, in their medicine, so that would mean that not only do rabbis who teach Torah have to figure out how they have the right to get paid, Rav Moshe seems to think that doctors also have to figure it out how they have the right to get paid. So what they're getting paid for, we'll see it a little bit. Today, many people think that it's because we're like babysitters and we're getting paid really for the babysitting money, and there is a Gemara that sounds like that. Rav Moshe is going to say that's not the full answer. We'll get there. But his basic construct right now is that the fact that one is allowed to pay for Mikra, for the teaching of the written Torah, shows that others don't have the obligation, because if they had the obligation, they couldn't take money for it. Not so clear, but that's where Moshe is reading it. I'm not going to each time point out whether there are other ways to read it, because I want to learn what Moshe has to say. This is the way he's reading it. So if others can get paid, it means they don't have that formal obligation. That means, and the father does have the formal obligation there, and that's why he's able to pay for it. Just on the topic of not getting paid for mitzvot, I would point out that the Taz in Yoredeya Shin Lamed Vav 336, in the second paragraph of the Taz there, takes this idea and says that that would mean that being taught teaching medicine or performing medicine is also the kind of thing that should need to be done for free, because we think that much of the understanding of why one is obligated to heal others is that it's like a lost object. The same way the Torah says you have to return lost objects to people, we have an obligation, if we can, to return their lost health to them as well. And the Taz says when it comes to performing a mitzvah, not just the teaching of Torah, but when it comes to performing any mitzvah, we're supposed to do it for free. So these are all conversations that have been had elsewhere, and I'm not saying that doctors can't get a salary. There's all sorts of justifications for getting it. I'm just pointing out that Rav Moshe is reminding us that while I think it might be more well known that teachers of Torah are supposed to do it for free, the assumption of the Taz here and of Rav Moshe here was that that's true really of any mitzvah, that anytime one is doing a mitzvah, one is ideally supposed to be doing it for free. Well, Rav Moshe knows that the Gemara in Nedarim, Lamed Zion 37, justifies the taking of money for teaching school children, elementary school children, either according to Rav, because like babysitting, you're guarding them, you're taking care of them, making sure that they don't get into trouble, or it's because you're teaching them not just the Torah itself, but how to lay the Torah, how to read it properly, according to Rav Yochanan. Rav Moshe infers from many poskim, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Tur, the Rashba, and the Rif, that they think that one is even allowed, is in fact allowed to get paid just for the bare fact of teaching Torah, because the Rambam and the Tur don't mention that if one were what's called a mudar hana'a. Mudar hana'a means, however it happens, usually it would probably happen in anger, but let's suppose one person says, I'm not getting any benefit from you anymore. I take a vow, and vows are not a great idea usually, but I take a vow not to get any benefit from you. So then, there's this whole new complicated relationship between them, because the question is, what counts as getting benefit? So, is one allowed to learn Torah from that person? If it's an economic good, the learning of Torah, meaning something I should usually be paying for, then I can't, because then that person giving me economic good, I'm not paying him for, and I'm not allowed to get economic value out of this person. That's part of being a mudar hana. And the Rav Moshe points out that when paskening, when ruling on the issues of a mudar hana, we don't see any distinction in the Rambam or the Tur between the different kinds of learned teachings of Torah, meaning according to Rav Yochanan, who said that the money that one is paying for Talmud Torah is actually for the Pisuk Ta'amim, for the learning how to lane it and how to read it properly. So let's say that wasn't happening in this Torah study session. Let's say it was just a plain Torah study session, teaching the meaning of the words, right? So I'll come back to the meaning of words in a second, but the meaning of the words. So for Rav Yochanan, then you shouldn't be allowed to pay for it. And if it's not a katan who needs babysitting for Rav, you should not be allowed to pay for it. So if you're not allowed to pay for it in those situations, then it's not an economic good. And then, theoretically, even a mudar hana'a should be allowed to learn from that person. And yet the Rambam doesn't make that distinction, nor does the Tur. That teaches Rav Moshe that, in fact, even if that was the Tur that was being taught, when it comes to mikra, there is a right to take money for it, and since there's a right to take money for it, it is therefore an economic good, and a mudar hana can't do it. I will add right here that when Moshe says the basic learning would be perush havanat hamilot, understanding the words, he says shezeu ikar halimud. That is the essence of learning. Develo yediat perush hamilot, without knowing the meanings of the words, there is no way to think of it as just reading the words without knowing what it's talking about, as considering it Talmud Torah, as considering an act of learning. That's interesting to me, because I once had a conversation with somebody like that who said that it's not so clear to him. And I think there's a famous Balatanya who suggests that when it comes to Torah Shebichtav, in fact, it might be that not understanding it can still qualify as an act of Talmud Torah, as an act of Torah study. Rav Moshe here is saying that that's not true. That gets into questions of what level of understanding one needs of the words in order for it to qualify. Meaning, if somebody doesn't read the Gemara itself at all and just hears somebody saying what it means, does that for Rav Moshe act count as an act of learning? It may or may not, meaning he'll say, you don't need to be able to connect these words to these meanings, you just need to basically know what the meaning of the words is and have an understanding of what's going on in that Gemara, but it may be not, it may be that he thinks one has, anyway, all of that is a side point, but his point being that he is inferring from here that one is allowed to get paid for mikra, for the teaching of the written Torah, because of the mudar hana'a proof of those things, even if it's just explaining the words. Why that should be, Rav Moshe says, is that he thinks it might all be stemming from our understanding of the words in the Torah, Vishinantam Levanecha, you shall teach them to your children. Now, Shinun can mean a couple of things. In the Gemara in Kiddushin, it says that it means Sheyu Divrei Torah Mechudadim, they should be sharp in one's mouth, Shemishal Lecha Adam Al Tegamgem, that if somebody asks you a question in Torah, you don't have to stutter or stammer or try to figure out, but you'll know it. And that only works if you know Torah Shebe'al Peh, if you know the oral law, which gives the din, which gives the halacha. And therefore, he says, maybe that's where we get the idea that Vishinant Levanecha means all students, not just your children. Because with your children, the obligation is to teach Torah Shebichtav. Umimela Dechevan Torah Havechiv Ach Mechudadim from Vishinant Levanecha, but Vehodatam Levanecha is also that your children need to know it well. So therefore, he thinks that Vishinantam is about all students, even though they're not your children. But all that only applies to the oral law, because that's where the one's getting the halachot from. So the mikra, the written law, that's left out of this discussion of what one is required to teach others. And one's not required to teach it to others, and one to own one's own children, he's saying that's when it's only the father. So where do you get from that he can do it for money? He says, well, since one is allowed to teach it for money, since other people are allowed to take money for it, they're allowed to take money for it because they don't have any obligation to do it. It's not a mitzvah for them. Why? Because their mitzvah is only Vishinantum Levanacha, which gets to halacha, and halacha comes from the oral law, so that's what they have to be teaching. But the mikra, the written law, they're not necessarily required to be teaching, and therefore they can take money. Once they can take money, then the Lecha Mishnah says, well, if they can take money, that's why the father has to do it, because since the father needs to make sure the son knows all of Torah Mikra from Vishinantu Levanecha for him in a different way, and also a different pasuk of Vehodatam Levanecha, you have to let them be known to your sons, to your descendants, right? That includes grandfathers as well. That would make it an obligation. Once it's an obligation, the only way to get it is by paying, then one would have to pay it. And Moshe says then, and since it's a logical extension of what the Torah has told us, the Rav Moshe says, and where this doesn't apply, and how one figures what considered logical are all good questions for other times, but logic makes it into Doraita. So from the fact that the Torah allows others to take money and obligates the father and the grandfather to make sure the son knows it, that would mean the father also has to pay for it if that's the only way that he can get it done. With the grandfather, Moshe is not as sure, because the father has many monetary responsibilities to his son that the grandfather doesn't have to his grandson, so he leaves that as an open question. Now, how does he get from there that one has to learn all of Torah? He says, in Rashi, it's clear that one is obligated to learn all of Torah. Why? Because the Gemara in Menachot says that if somebody forgets any piece of one's Torah, they're violating the Torah. That's also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot as well. And if there's no mitzvah to learn all of Torah, Rav Moshe says, then what's the problem of forgetting the Torah? Right? That's Rav Moshe's claim. Because without learning, then he certainly doesn't know. So we'll come to Rabbi Yonah on Avot in a second, but his inference here bears thinking about. Meaning the Gemara Menachot says, if somebody forgets any piece of Torah, they're violating the Torah, and they have a pasuk for it that we can't get into right now. But the Gemara then says, but what if one just learns so much that one is unable to remember it? And he says, no, we mean when the person makes an effort to forget it. And then Rabbeinu Yonah in Avot says, on a similar Mishnah, he says, Rabbeinu Yonah says that that's because the person might end up coming to rule halachically in a wrong way and make something and say that something that's permitted is prohibited and vice versa, and maybe that doesn't apply to somebody who never learned it at all. Meaning the problem is, if one learns and then lets oneself forget, and Rabbeinu Yonah actually says that if one just fails to study enough and review enough to remember it, that would be a problem of letting oneself forget, whether that's true or not. Maybe the only issue is that you'll come to rule in the wrong way. So if you never learned it, you don't have to worry about it. That's what Moshe thinks Rabbeinu Yonah might have taught us, and he's going to reject that in a second. But I would just point out that it could also be that the Gemara Menachot, theoretically one could have said, that the Gemara Menachot means that if one doesn't care enough about Torah to forget what one has learned, that itself is a problem. But if one never learns it, maybe there's no obligation. But Rav Moshe, in any case, is inferring from the fact that we have an obligation not to forget, it must be that meant that we were supposed to know it always, and since we were supposed to know it, once we learned it, then we have an obligation not to forget it. He rejects the Rabbeinu Yonah inference because we have another mission that says Shigiga Talmud Olez Zadon, that if one forgets what one learns and then rules improperly, that will count as having done it on purpose. And Ramosha is saying, so if you have another Mishnah Avot that says it, then this Mishnah in Avot doesn't have to mean it. And therefore, he thinks that forgetting, even if it doesn't lead to any wrong halachic rulings, there's still a law because one is required to learn all of Torah, and therefore one is required, he thinks, to remember all of the Torah that one has learned. For Rav Moshe, that's also what the Rabbah meant when the Rabbah writes in the beginning of the Laws of Talmud Torah. It's in the first chapter, paragraph 10, Halacha Yud. He said, how far does one have to go in terms of Torah learning? One has to learn all the days of one's life, and quotes the same verse that the Gemara in Menachot used, V'fin yasuvru milvavcha, lest they leave your hearts. And the Rambam says, and anytime you don't learn, you're going to forget. And so Rav Moshe says, if there's no obligation to learn all of Torah, but just whatever you learn is good. So that, and whatever you learned, you didn't, you couldn't have remembered. Then it would seem to him, he says, that there's no obligation to learn all your life necessarily. You'd only have to learn as much as it takes not to forget, and that's not necessarily till the day of your death. So I'm not sure that's true. I think the Rambam could be saying that one has an obligation to continue learning, even if it were to be limited. But even that limited stuff, one ends up forgetting no matter what they do. Now, that might mean that one learns a lot less than Rav Moshe is conceiving of it as. But I think there are also other ways to read that Rambam. In any case, the last problem Rav Moshe has to deal with, though, is that there's another Gemara that says that if one learns a little piece of Torah in the morning, and then that same Gemara in Menachot, if one learns a little piece of Torah in the morning, a little piece of Torah in the evening, one has fulfilled one's obligation. The Rambam paskens that way. He says it must be, we're talking about a person who's already learned all of Torah, and this particular day doesn't have time to learn a lot of Torah, so this particular day he's going to learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening, but that's somebody who's already learned all of Torah. In any case, that explains why Daf Yomi is such a great idea, because he says over the course of the 7 years, one learns all of Shas, which he seems to think, because one covers all of Shas. Now, it's unclear. He seems to think that all of Shas, all of the Bavli, counts in some sense as all of Torah, when, of course, there are plenty of parts of Torah that aren't in the Bavli either, but he seems to say that here. He may have been saying it to be nice to this rabbi whose Siyum he wasn't able to make it to, but that is where Rav Moshe comes out. The Daf Yomi is great because it lets one see all of Torah. It's not quite true because there's Mishnayos that don't have Masechtot and Shas. We won't have to make that up. There's Yerushalmis. There's all sorts of Torah out there that's not included in this, but the fundamental rule, the fundamental idea of Rav Moshe's tshuva is that the obligation to learn Torah includes a father-son obligation to learn Mikra, to learn the written Torah, and that could be even with money. And then beyond that, an obligation to learn all of Torah as much as one can, but to learn all of Torah and then to remember everything that one has learned. And that is a response of a day for the 5th of Tammuz. Have a great day.